Hello and welcome to another edition of Business Matters here on Highland Radio with me, Chris Ashmore. Coming up later in the programme, I'll be looking at Permanent TSB's recent opening of their flagship branch in Letterkenny and speaking with Donegal Territory Manager Tara McDade about the bank's commitment to Donegal. But before that, I've been delving into the world of wedding photography, and to get an insight into the business, I've been speaking with the award-winning Jay Doherty of Jay Doherty Photography, who is particularly well-known in Donegal and in his native Derry. Jay, many thanks for coming on Business Matters this week as we talk about wedding photography, something which has evolved down through the years, and I'm not really sure where to begin, but perhaps we'll start with just a little bit about your own background and how did you get into photography in the first place?
Good man, Chris, and thanks for having me along. It's a treat to talk to you. My origins in photography go back to my dad. Back in the 70s and 80s, he was a photographer and he had a darkroom at home. And as much as all the equipment and the inspiration was there, we didn't really care at the time, and it was only in my later years that I picked up a camera, and eventually it became my job, but there was a lot of different chapters till it finally became a full-time job.
So tell us a little bit about the early stages. You were in other fields of work before you concentrated on photography.
Me and all my brothers, we all worked in the family business, so my dad, he had a tile shop, and we just, we floated out of university and just became a part of that, which was great because it kind of, in the early days, it gave me the flexibility that I could, if I had a wedding on a Friday, it would be okay to get a Friday off. And I had good flexibility. And then eventually when my wedding's built up to a stage that it could kind of sustain me, as an incoming 11 that I cut down to 3 days, and then eventually I just I took a brave step to go full-time self-employed.
So how long have you been in the wedding photography business?
I'm scared to look at the reality, but it will be fairly close to 20 years.
Now, the reason I ask you that is over that 20-year span, I'm sure the typical wedding package, but pretty much every aspect of wedding photography has changed hugely over that time. If we go back to your early days, I suspect it was a fairly sort of set package with a standard enough album, and there wasn't sort of the add-ons and imagination that you get nowadays.
Well, even back as far as 20 years, things have evolved for sure, but not that dramatically. When I began, I think most wedding photographers had embraced digital photography, which made things a whole lot easier, and it meant you could experiment and try more kind of edgy things. Once you had the basics of the traditional wedding photos taken, you were free to kind of experiment because you had unlimited amount of photographs compared to maybe 5 years before when you were kind of limited to a few rolls of 36 photographs on a film camera. So in the early days, it was different for sure, but not dramatically different. And what we offer now, and probably similar to most of my wedding photographers in my community, it's not dramatically different. There's still wedding albums, and there's, alongside that, are digital pictures, and there's a lot of stuff that there's ways that we can share with people that are a whole lot easier. Back in the day, it was fairly slow and cumbersome. If you permit me to bore you with how it used to be when I started, for example, I could have taken maybe 1,000 photographs, and out of that, I would have used maybe 200. There would have been 200 keepers. And that could have taken maybe 3 weeks to process on Photoshop. And then you had to invite the bride and groom back to your house, and they would look at them all in your computer, and they would write down wee notes of what photos they would like for their wedding album. And then I would have created a wedding album, and then I would have emailed a proof to them, and they would have told me if they liked it or not. And it would have went on and on and on. And it would, like, sometimes this would last for months until you finally provided the wedding album of their dreams. And there was a lot of to and fro, but a lot of that stuff now is has been made a whole lot simpler by kind of online apps and software and ways to share. And, you know, simple things as WhatsApp, you can do video calls. But back in the day, they used to literally have to be sitting on your sofa in front of you.
Yeah, I can imagine the difference. Now, you, over the years, you've done weddings at many different locations throughout Donegal and the Northwest. And I see you have a blog as well, and you even had a Getting Married in Donegal guide, which, as it says, it does what it says on the tin, gives you all sorts of people, all sorts of ideas. And no doubt that's helped with feedback.
Aye, that's grand. It's... I guess a great way to market yourself is just to be a good resource for a bride and not only provide good photographs, but also be a kind of a good help and help them plan and offer your experience to help them. And I've been to probably most wedding venues and hotels in Donegal, and I can give direct feedback and can let people know here's some cool ideas. Say if you're in that area, there's great photograph locations that I love around there, or just use 20 years worth of my experience to help as best I can. But that wee guide is a kind of work in progress, to tell you the truth. I started it in the winter when it was a bit quieter, and I kind of abandoned it, but I'll go back to it from time to time.
Now, you touched on there, and it is a very important point. You know the locations to go. So often after the ceremony and maybe before the reception, the bride and groom will go off somewhere, and you can give them some assistance in that regard. Maybe they mightn't even know the area that well at all themselves.
That's it. Sometimes I think of it like this, and when I'm trying to describe what I do to people that don't really know, is we take photographs for sure, but in many ways we're kind of like a coordinator of the day in a fairly loose sense, because like we're there along the journey from the early morning prep right to their dancing at 10 o'clock at night. And I guess you're there to help with your experience and show locations and know what the weather's going to be like and know what time the sun's going to set and what direction the wind is and all these millions of factors that will help their wedding day kind of flow fairly fluidly and your photographs along. And to tell you the truth, taking the photographs is one of the easier parts of the job. It's that kind of liaison and kind of people soft skills that to me is probably the more important skill set that we have these days.
Yeah, absolutely. And you mentioned the weather there. So suddenly if it's a bad day, is it you or is it the wedding couple who have sort of plan B as to the planned photo on the beach doesn't come off because you're in the middle of a storm? So again, your experience can be invaluable.
We have any of my friends around the Northwest or anywhere around really the top half of Ireland, we are well capable and well used to fairly inhospitable weather. So as tough as it's been along the way, it just kind of becomes a part of the job. Where less than ideal weather is what we get fairly often. But these days you don't quite rely on, you know, one area of the wedding day or one particular part of the wedding day, i.e. out at the beach at sunset. Like your wedding album will consist of photographs from the very start throughout the day. And you're photographing as much as not portraits of a bride and groom, but just moments that happen naturally along the way and like interactions and connections between friends and family. And that creates a beautiful wedding story. And you're maybe less reliant on having beautiful weather.
When you're discussing the wedding with a couple in advance, I'm sure sometimes they have plenty of ideas. Sometimes they may not have many ideas at all. Is it a case sometimes you would throw out a few things, that throw out a few feelers to see how they respond to things? How do you arrive at a sort of a plan for the day?
That's it. We usually meet up for a coffee, or if time and distance are a bit of a factor, we would meet up for a Zoom and just discuss, like, for example, is there somewhere that's important or special to you as a couple? Was there somewhere nice close by that you got engaged? Or maybe they picked a venue and a location for a reason that it's important to them. Or maybe it's somewhere totally new and you can you can sort of create some ideas and share some pictures from previous weddings and say, listen, here's some cool places in the area that you might like. And you kind of gauge from them, like, what how adventurous are they? And maybe you think, right, for sure, we could try and go somewhere fairly off the beaten track into the hills or down by the water. And between us, we generally come up with a cool idea and also a bit of a plan B, like we were chatting about before, if the weather's far from ideal. And that plan B tends to be going to a pub in Donegal, which is grand because they're always welcoming to brides and grooms and couples. And I'm sure the bride would usually jump in and pour a pint of stout. And I'm sure the crack can be grand while you wait out the weather in a pub.
And tell me a little bit about how things have changed with the likes of Instagram and TikTok, because I'm sure they play an increasing part in your work and what goes up online as well.
That's it. Now, that's a big revolution. You'll know yourself, if you look back on most businesses 15 or 20 years ago, you would have been going to the newspaper or spending your kind of promotional money on advertisements. And that's just the way it was. Or if you had loads of money, you would have got your photographs in magazines. But these days, everyone's on Instagram and Facebook, and some of the younger groovy kids are on TikTok, but I'm not. But Instagram's great. I fully enjoy it as a platform and as a way to promote your business and to kind of sell your personal brand as well, which is, i.e., show people what you're like as a person, because you're going to be with them for 12 hours on their wedding day. And so it's a nice way to just show the reality of, here's me and here's me hanging out and here's how I edit your photos, or here's me out for a walk in the countryside. Instagram's great that way. And it's also a lovely platform to show off somebody's wedding after their wedding day, like a few days after or a week after. You can show some highlights and share with their friends and share with the other vendors, like their dress shop and their hair and makeup and their hotels. And then so everybody gets a wee bit of promo that way.
You're in an interesting sector in so far as a lot of your business, people are going to look for a wedding photographer. They're going to go online. They're going to look at the testimonials. They're going to look at previous weddings that you've had, be it on social media platforms or on your own website. And when you get the consent of the people to put up things to advertise, and I'm sure you look back with great pride at some of the weddings and some of the photos that, you know, they really do stand out, and obviously everybody's a winner and you've ticked all the boxes.
It's a great job, and I tell you, even now, I probably love it more than I ever have, and I'm so grateful. I'm grateful for the couples that I get. Again, via social media, you can sell yourself or your weddings or how you shoot through your personal brand and through what you show. And I tend to get fairly adventurous, energetic couples, which kind of suits my personality and my lifestyle. And it allows us to, between us, we can create great energetic photos and go on adventures and maybe sneak off in the evening time for sunset and hang out by the water. And it's a brilliant thing that way. And it's a great that it's not me as such, as much as the kind of combined synergy between me and the couple. And between us, we can usually create something pretty cool.
So any particular ones that sort of jump to mind, that unusual photographs that sort of certainly are ingrained in your memory forever?
I like when there's a natural moment that just occurs between human beings that I haven't had any hand in. And if I could, I would try and photograph as much as a wedding day, hands off, you know, like a fly in the wall, and photograph what naturally happens. Now, there's a mix between that and traditional kind of posed photos, when you would ask people, would you stand there and you can light them up and you can get them into wee embraces. But when you get a natural moment in a wedding day that just shows you the beauty of the human race, there's nothing like that. And they don't happen all the time, but a few times a year, you'll get something that you look at and you go, wow, I cannot wait to show this to these people. I did I had a project a few years back, and we had an exhibition here in Muff and Tank and Skinnies, and it was called Wedding Grannies. And to me, photographing grandparents in a wedding day is a big part of what I love. And I had a brilliant picture of a granny. Her name was Polly, and she was in a wheelchair, and she was being pushed out of the chapel doors down in Newton Cunningham. And she's just in fits of laughter, and everyone around her is laughing their heads off. And I don't know what they were laughing at, and I can't remember. But it won me a few awards along the way, and it was really, really special. And everyone that I show that photograph to, they're like, isn't that the happiest photograph there ever was? And Polly's not around anymore, so I guess it makes it that bit more special.
Is it a case that you're always sort of trying to think outside the box and just get that little magic moment?
It kind of works like this. You start off fairly basic and you do your standard stuff and you tick all the boxes of, okay, I've got everything I need to cover me. And then you can push it a bit and you can try and experiment a bit and you can ask a bride and groom. You can throw a few wild ideas towards them and see how they react. And from time to time, you just build and build and build until you've got something that's absolutely unexpected and super fun. I had a bride and groom in a barley field last year, and the groom had somehow in conversation had popped up that he was going to do a handstand on his wedding day, even though he wasn't much of a gymnast. And we were in a barley field at sunset, and the bride was in kind of standing in one area and the groom was in the other area, and he was saying, right, the time has come for this handstand. And he tried to do a handstand and she was watching him, and he did like the worst attempt of a handstand you ever seen, and all you can see is these big wobbly legs and his body buried beneath all the barley, and the bride stand beside him laughing. And it was just such a sort of funny, mental, unexpected moment. And it's great that you can kind of show people traditional photography as part of it. But really, we can go and have some great fun and have a bit of adventure and make some brilliant memories together.
Absolutely. Now, you're from Glack in County Derry originally. Donegal is as much home as Derry is. And there's a lot of people who get married on one side of the border or the other, or move across for the reception or whatever. And I see also you've, I think I saw on your website, Yikes, a helpful guide to having your wedding photos taken. What's that all about?
It's kind of, you get constant feedback from your clients. And I don't even call them clients, they're friends. They're like great couples that come into your life. And it's a fairly unnatural thing to have someone just burst into your life and just photograph you for 10 hours. Like, not many people are used to that. So this kind of came about from a point of view of a major, or maybe one of the worries of a couple would be, what's it going to be like getting my photograph taken, or what should I do, or what's my role in this? Because they don't know, and I do know. And so it was just a kind of way to calm people down and settle their kind of wild imaginations that the things that maybe a photographer are going to be asking them to do. And I think the conclusion was, if you're having a good time and you're relaxed and you're allowing the day to happen naturally, the photographs will take care of themselves. I won't need to have any major input in your pictures. If you're having a great time, your photographs will reflect that. And I think that's what the Yikes guide really said.
What about your own capital investment between cameras and drones? There's no end to the amount of equipment that you could buy. No doubt you're always keeping an eye out on trends. But is there a case of every now and again you think, well, I need to upgrade here, or I need to get a new camera? Or how do you sort of manage that side of things?
There is endless, and it depends how much you love buying new toys. Personally, I have enough to do a great job, and I wouldn't be a big man for cameras, but I do like lenses, and the lenses are probably every bit as expensive as the cameras themselves. What I have here, and I'm in my office, I've got five digital cameras and about 9 lenses and 3 flashes. And that's everything that I own. And out of all that equipment, I probably use two cameras and two lenses as often as I can and keep it fairly light. But there is, you could endlessly be spending. And maybe in my younger years, I was probably quicker to purchase brand new cameras as they were released. But right now, I'm a kind of sensible parent. And my wife actually knows the crack. I used to buy a lens and she wouldn't really know that it was a new lens. But any time I seem to buy a new lens now, she will be very quick to go, oh, that's a new one there, is it? And you're like, how did you know? How can you know that that's a brand new lens? Or maybe it's just my guilty look.
What about wedding packages? No doubt there's different types available. I see you do a love story highlights show. There's a combination of photos. They might want video. How does that usually balance out? What sort of choice do you give people?
I would imagine, or I kind of know that what is fairly popular in the market is a digital wedding collection, which is like an online gallery of just your digital photographs. And where a bride and groom or any couple can download them all and keep them in their phones and on their computer. So that's fairly popular. What I guess I try to differentiate myself, as in I provide albums for about 95% of all my weddings, which I believe in. Like, I still believe that the printed wedding albums are a treasure and they're something that couples will cherish for years to come. But I also do the digital only. So it's kind of balancing what I really want and I find value in with what the market wants. So I'm always, like, just to survive in business, I offer the digital package as well. But people are still hungry for wedding albums, and it's a great way to keep the magic alive when the wedding's passed and maybe there's a bit of a void, or maybe somebody's a wee bit sad because the wedding planning's finished, and a few months after they're going to have a beautiful wedding album to take off and show their parents and take on tour to all their guests, and they'll have it forevermore. So to me, there's still magic in a wedding album, and that's, my heart kind of lies there. But maybe over the next few years, the market will tell me different.
Now, your diary for wedding bookings, perhaps you can enlighten me as to sort of what's the longest period in advance that you've got a wedding booking, and the flip side, what was the shortest notice to do a job?
We're lucky, we're so fortunate in many ways, but we are lucky and fairly kind of unique in many industries that we generally have a couple of years ahead of booked work, which is brilliant. You know your mortgage is going to be paid and there's not so much pressure. You have to work hard to create that. But I have a diary open for the next 2 years. I have this year, next year, and then 2027 has just been open. So I basically have three calendars on my wall of work. And so next year's would be three quarters full, and the year after is getting into a good, safe place. So I'm grateful for that. And it, as much as it seems so far away, that's how it works in the wedding industry. People book things 2 or 3 years in advance. I know some hotels would work definitely 3 years and sometimes 4 years in advance for prime summer dates. But I generally take bookings for 2 years.
Yeah. And do you mark off from the calendar a couple of weeks that you're saying, well, this is my own holiday time, I'm not available for X week and Y week?
I do surely. And it's every summer there's a week off in June, July and August, which is something I learned to do about 5 years ago, or when I started having children, you realize, wait a minute, I can't sail away my whole summers here. And it works well. You do your best to book out the rest of the year, and you can have a fairly normal existence. Whereas maybe in years gone by, if you're a wedding photographer, you basically didn't have any free weekends, and you can balance it a bit. It's not easy, but it's definitely possible.
And being a photographer, is the camera always in the car? If you're out driving around Donegal, maybe on some non-wedding-related business, and you see a cow in a strange location, do you stop the car and get out and snap it?
I do love photography as well. It would be still would be a good passion. I've got a small camera that would be my kind of travel camera that I would take if we were ever away with a family or if I'm just going for a ramble. So it wouldn't be my kind of full sort of high-spec wedding camera, but it would be a smaller version. And I love it.
So just rounding things off, Jay, you love your job. You're in a great part of the world for it. And I suppose blessed to have so many fine locations in the Northwest to be going out. And that's part and parcel of your work.
For sure. Oh, we live in a great part of the world, without a doubt. Before I lived here, I lived in Los Angeles and I spent a bit of time living in London as well and traveling around Europe. And I guess as a parent and as someone that a homeowner and somebody that loves the countryside and loves to surf in the sea, I can't think of anywhere nicer to be than Donegal. And it's got beautiful people, and the wedding industry here is welcoming and warm and friendly. So it's definitely a real beautiful place to live your life, and thank God I can make a living doing what I love.
Jay, just before we let you go, weddings are still big, big business in Donegal. We have many fine hotels, and of course there's the spin-off from weddings. The ripple goes far and wide, and it generates a lot of money in the local economy and sustains a lot of employment.
Yep, that is so important, and I'm glad you brought that up, because there are so many small businesses that benefit from Donegal being a great location for weddings, and the fact that that traditional weddings are still a popular thing here. There are hair and makeup and hotel staff and wedding car companies and videographers. And these are small homegrown businesses that pay people's bills. And it's a beautiful thing. And it's a great community we have together. And right now it can sustain a lot of people. And that's really important. And we're also grateful for it.
And finally, Jay, just give us the details of your website if anybody wants to look up and find out more.
I am jaydohertyphotography.com, so that's J-A-Y. But you'll find more crack and up-to-date stuff on Instagram, so just J_Doherty_photography. And you'll find daily updates on stories and whatever's happening here in the office or out on weddings, or if I happen to be away for a ramble in the hills, there's endless crack to be had on Instagram.
And that was Jay Doherty of Jay Doherty Photography. Just before we move on, I want to tell you a little bit about the Local Enterprise Lean for Business program. Many businesses in Donegal across a range of sectors, including manufacturing, retail, hospitality, and indeed service providers, have already achieved big efficiencies and savings by adopting the Lean principles. Well, applications are now open to apply to participate in the program, which is designed to encourage clients to adopt Lean business principles. Now, essentially, Lean is about being efficient and effective, doing things quicker, better, cheaper, together, and Lean strives to stamp out waste and to continually improve. For more details, you should contact the local enterprise office, and you can also find information on their website. Meanwhile, Bank of Ireland is warning customers about a dramatic increase in the past fortnight in reports and cases of an attempted safe account scam. Customers should be on particular alert for fraudulent texts that attempt to lure them into calling a fake bank phone line, where the account holder is then duped into transferring funds to their secondary account, in most cases Revolut, and in turn a safe account which is controlled by a fraudster. Well, reports of the scam to Bank of Ireland's fraud line and text checker service have been on the increase since the start of the year, and last week showed a massive increase with daily reports over 10 10 times the number of those reported weekly in April and May. Nicholas Sadler, the head of fraud at Bank of Ireland, said that the main advice is to look out for these texts and do not call back. She stressed that Bank of Ireland will never ask you to move your money to another account to keep it safe. If you think you have been a victim of fraud, the advice is to call the bank's fraud team immediately on the 24/7 free phone line. And the number is 1-800-946-764. I'll give you that number again. It's a free phone number, 1-800-946-764. Permanent TSB recently opened its new branch in Letterkenny, a flagship location, and it's along with the other branches in Donegal, namely in Ballybofey, Buncrana, Donegal Town and Killybegs. Tara McDade is the Donegal Territory Manager for Personal and Business Banking. Tara, thanks for joining us on Business Matters. A significant investment by the bank and this flagship location in Letterkenny. The response so far from customers and the public in general has been very positive.
Hi, Chris. Yeah, thank you for the invite. Yes, delighted with our new PTSB branch in the heart of Letterkenny. Look, as you know, Chris, we've had a presence here for some time. This new branch really marks an exciting new chapter for us. You know, there on May the 22nd there, we actually officially launched the branch. We had the branch open since February, but we had our official launch there on the 22nd of May, and I had the pleasure of hosting the event alongside our CEO, Eamon Crowley, and our Chief Retail Banking Officer, Patrick Farrell. And we were also joined on the night by customers, local business owners and public representatives. And it was a great night. But for me, if I was to sum up the night, Chris, you know, the atmosphere on the night of the opening for me was the biggest highlight, because the connections were so genuine. And, you know, if I was to describe that, Chris, if you walked into the room, I would doubt you could tell who the bankers were. And that's exactly how it should be. It was, you know, groups of people coming together, building real relationships and helping each other grow. So it was a fantastic night, and, you know, it was great support all around, you know.
There has been obviously big changes in the whole banking sector. And I noted at the official opening, as you've mentioned there, attended by the Chief Executive, Eamon Crowley, he spoke about PTSB's brand promise of altogether more human. And that sort of backs up what you're saying. It's having that interaction, despite the fact we live in a digital age.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, you know, the banking landscape is evolving and digital has become a huge part of that. And, you know, PTSB has invested heavily in their digital offering. But, you know, at PTSB, we believe digital should enhance the experience, not replace the relationship. You know, people still add massive value and that personal connection. You know, given that I'm from Donegal, born and bred, that's extremely important in Donegal, you know, especially when it comes to making decisions like mortgages or business growth. So, you know, while PTSB is absolutely fully committed to digital, we're equally committed to staying present in communities with real people in real places. And, you know, for me, there's room for both models. And I think the balance is where we really add value in people's lives.
You've a good geographical spread in Donegal. Of course, like a lot of other banks, there isn't the same network of banks, particularly in smaller towns. But when we look, Letterkenny, Ballybofey, Buncrana, Donegal Town, Killybegs, you're pretty much reaching into each sub-region of the county.
Yeah, as you said, we have five branches across the county. You know, a couple of years ago, PTSB had one branch in Letterkenny. So I think we're demonstrating a real commitment to this county, and this county really matters. You know, as Ireland's third pillar bank, we're very proud of that national road. But, you know, here in Donegal, when I think of Donegal, we see ourselves as a challenger, you know, especially when it comes to customer service. And, you know, competition is extremely healthy, and it's great to see that competition in the locality. It pushes us all to do better. I think probably what sets us PTSB apart is that we very much want to be a relationship-led bank. You know, we just don't want to be here for customers' transactions. We want customers to feel something different, you know, to feel connected. So, yeah, look, we're very, very proud of it. And it's great to see, you know, five branches across the county.
You're particularly keen to support local entrepreneurs and small and medium enterprises through your business banking offering.
Yes. Look, you know, Chris, a lot of people in the past would have probably known PTSB as a retail bank, but that has changed significantly in recent years. You know, while we still absolutely offer the everyday banking products such as your mortgage, your savings, we've really expanded on that now. We now have a full business banking offering with access to, you know, things like working capital, merchant services. We have lending solutions. We also do insurance and protection products. And something I'm very proud of as well, we also do financial health checks through our PTSB at Work programme, which brings banking directly into people's workplaces. And it's also given something back to local business owners as well, that we can bring that value onto the workplace for their staff.
I see also that the bank recently launched its new sustainability strategy, and this ties in well in Donegal. There's a lot of firms, a lot of individuals involved in the green energy sector, the sustainable products and services. Yeah. So it's all dovetailing together.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, sustainability is a huge part of where banking is going as well, and rightly so. You know, it's not just, you know, ticking a box anymore. It's about how we operate as a business and how we support customers to make those sustainable choices, whether that's our personal customer or business customer. Like at PTSB, just to give you an idea of that, we're looking at sustainability in a real practical way, whether that's through green lending options for mortgage, energy efficient homes incentives, or how we run our own branches on a day-to-day basis. But it's also supporting local economies in a sustainable way, you know, helping the business grow in ways that last, you know, that are responsible and contribute positively to the communities.
PTSB had a recent Reflecting Business report, and it was pretty upbeat. It stated that more Irish businesses see the benefits of sustainability initiatives for going forward, and 80% of them feel that it's either likely or somewhat likely that they will invest further in their businesses over the next 12 months. So that's a positive indicator.
Absolutely. And even on the night of our launch, we a panel of speakers, and there were local business leaders in the town. You know, we're talking about everything sustainability, and you know, it created a lot of questions in the room, and you could see that genuine interest coming from the room on the importance of sustainability. And I think it's all around, Chris, you know, that whole education process around sustainability and what the impact it can make, and it can add real value to businesses. But it's just having the courage to get started, and more events like that and talking about sustainability and sharing with other business makes a real difference.
Now, because of the uncertainties in the business climate at the moment, ranging from what's happening in the United States, tariffs, etc., it is a difficult time, and planning ahead can be an issue for people. But for people in business, I suppose the advice is there. Look, if you have concerns or you want to get a little bit of advice, don't be shy about contacting yourselves to help drive the way forward.
Absolutely. Look, I mean, there's a lot of uncertainty out there, especially as you just highlighted there, the whole piece around the tariffs and rising costs as well is another big thing that's coming along for business on the back of all of that. But, you know, look, for us at PTSB, we're focused on making sure our offerings remain competitive and fair and transparent. We would also, as you rightly said, encourage customers to talk to us, whether it's about reviewing their accounts or exploring better value options. You know, that's really, really important when times are like this. You know, it is about just, you know, getting that guidance and talking to someone is really, really important.
And that was Tara McDade, PTSB's Donegal Territory Manager for Personal and Business Banking. In other news, three Donegal-based businesses have been shortlisted for the prestigious Export Industry Awards. Atlantfish in Carndonagh has been shortlisted in the Seafood Exporter of the Year category. Weavers McNutt of Donegal is in the Sustainable Trade Export category, while civil engineering company Source Civil is in the High Potential Exporter category. The Export Industry Awards recognise excellence across Ireland's export sector, and this year there are 12 categories. The overall winners will be announced at a gala dinner and awards ceremony in Dublin in October. Avant Money has announced interest rate reductions on its new Flex mortgage product, with rates now starting from just 2.98%. This is the first time that mortgage rates have fallen under 3% since 2022. The company said this reflects the continued fall in the 12-month Euribor rate and the European benchmark on which the Flex mortgage is based. Making the announcement, Avant Money said its Flex mortgage rate is now 0.77% lower than the next best available variable rate from other lenders. However, other lenders are likely to follow suit. Finally, a date for the diary, just to let you know that the local enterprise office is hosting a free online workshop about its Ambition program. Now, this program focuses on female entrepreneurs and promotes the skills and resilience needed to develop globally scalable ventures and to attract investment and create jobs. Well, if you think this could be for you, the online workshop is on Wednesday, June the 18th from 10 in the morning, and you can get more details on that from the local enterprise office. Well, that's it for this week's edition of Business Matters here on Highland Radio. As always, I wish you a healthy, happy and profitable week ahead. Until the next time, from me, Chris Ashmore, goodbye.